Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassa, Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive, positively getting back out on the road here after the 4th of July. But it is the 4th of July week here, and the Orioles are out on the road. And when we get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour rev back up, we are going to be at DePasquale's next Tuesday. Not that I'm going to need more sausage after a holiday like the 4th of July, but we're going to be there on Tuesday morning on the 8th. I hope it's not 114 degrees. On the 10th of next week, we're also going to be back out on the road for the very first time at Costas in Timonium. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Curio Wellness. I've got my O going on, and of course, Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping my well water clean and making sure my pipes are flushing and all that stuff. All right, so Luke Jones and I got together with Alan McCallum last week at Reader's Crab House. You'll hear that here at WNST if you found it out at Baltimore Positive. Awesome. I'm still like in shock that the two of you have never talked baseball together on the airwaves, but we've done that now. It wasn't a bad weekend, Luke. When they win a couple of games, it's easy to get sort of optimistic, and you look up and you see they're 10 games under 500, and we go back to the point where like it's July 4th now, and they're 10 games under 500. Like it just the calendar's getting away from them, and it's nice to feel good about a win. They're terrible when they play like dog meat and on the Cal Ripken Iron Man day, but you know. Two or three times a week they win.
And you look at it, and it's funny. I was looking at this over the weekend as I'm just kind of pondering the season, and you're right. I mean, it's a good weekend. You took two out of three from the Rays. The Rays are a good team. I mean, my goodness, on Friday night, the Orioles scored their most runs in a game since 2000. Eugene Kingsale was in that lineup, which I had never thought of Eugene Kingsale over the last 15 years. Why would I? But Cal Ripken, Albert Bell, Brady Anderson, like you're going back 25 years. It was the last time the Orioles had scored 20 plus in a game. So Friday night was really fun. To your point, Saturday, not fun. Zach Eflin leaves after one, stiff back. We're expecting him to go on the IL. Tony Mancelino said as much Sunday morning, barring some major improvement over the next 24 hours or so. He said, look for Eflin to go on the IL. And then on Sunday, Dean Kramer comes out and really does what he's done since the start of May. He's pitched well, since May 1st or his first start in May, he has a 2.98 ERA. I mean, he's been very solid at a time when Eflin and Sagano have completely gone in the wrong direction. It's really been Dean Kramer and Charlie Morton who have led the rotation, which they were the guys that were the biggest problems in April.
Well,
So.
herein lies your optimism that they could win 90, 95 games this year, which is if Kramer can be good, they'll win a lot of games because they'll score enough runs when these guys can be, when they can make it 5 or 6 innings, give up 3 or 4 runs, kind of, sort of, bullpen can hold its water. The offense should have been good enough to win a lot of games. And Kramer would be the case study for if they can get that kind of pitching out of that kind, if they can get number three starting out of a number three starting pitcher instead of number six out of a number three, but not expecting number one out of Dean Kramer, but just being a solid Scott Erickson, middle of the rotation kind of guy for me. You know, that's the way I see Dean Kramer on his best day. And he's had a lot of best days the last 60 days.
I mean that was the blueprint, right? Whether you liked it or not, that's what Mike Elias was thinking would be how they would win games in 2025. And then the thought was, first of all, of course, he thought they were going to have Grayson Rodriguez. But as the year went on, the thought was, okay, you can trade for a pitcher at the deadline. We'll see about Kyle Bradish come mid-August. That Tyler Wells, same thing. So
Don't
that
forget, they
was.
gave Kyle Gibson a couple million too. You know, threw him in there. Yeah, I mean.
They did, but even that was when the plan had gone awry, right? I mean, that Grayson Rodriguez was hurt. Even at that point, they knew that Albert Suarez, his shoulder was not feeling great at the end of spring training, even though he began the year on the 26-man roster. But yeah, that was kind of the idea. The idea was the starting pitching's not going to be your strength. Can it be good enough? And it hasn't been, right? They had a 2.5 week a 2 week stretch when they won 9 of 11. And you go and look, they had a starting rotation that, FanGraphs breaks it all down, right? You can look at any stretch of a season and see how a team ranks compared to the rest of the league. And when they went 9-2 from late May through the first, what, 5 days of June, they had a starting rotation that was, I believe it was. I even broke it down. I have it for you right in front of me. Fifth in ERA, starter ERA, I'm talking about. And they were eighth in fielding independent pitching, which that's kind of a more predictive stat that takes defense out of it. So, like, it looked good for 2 weeks. Since then, in the 22 games since they've won, they went 9-2, you know, that 9 of 11 stretch that had everyone optimistic when they, you know, swept the Mariners and did what they did at that point. They've had four quality starts in their last 22 games. And that kind of speaks to where they are. Now, there were some other starts in there. Like, for example, Charlie Morton had a game, the game against the Angels, where he was great through five, and then there was a long rain delay. So that technically wasn't a quality start. But the point is, the pitching, the starting pitching specifically, because the bullpen has been pretty good overall over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But the starting rotation went south again. Eflin has been a disaster to the point where you're wondering if they're even going to be able to trade him at this point in time. Sagano has not been much better, but
It is
he.
crazy. 2 weeks ago, those were
Oh,
the
it,
guys were like, hey, man, right? I
right,
mean,
right.
it
Well,
happens very, very quickly with the pitching. It really does.
it does, and it just speaks to how difficult this year has been. I mean, as much as so many other things have gone wrong, because the offense doesn't get a pass, the defense doesn't get a pass, the base running's been eh. I mean, everything about this team
Management,
is.
throw management in there
Sure,
too.
no
Throw
question.
ownership in, throw
Every well,
leadership in,
I know,
just
but I'm
all
talking.
the way through.
I
The
know, but I'm
fact that
talking
they
about.
had no B team to come through. I mean, you know, the fact that the minor league system's not like it's teeter, especially on the pitching side. It doesn't feel like there's anything coming down that boat, right?
I mean, there's a few guys here and there that are interesting, but is there a Grayson Rodriguez that, in the way that we perceive Grayson Rodriguez
An
4 years
ascending
ago,
pitcher.
is there a DL Hall in the way that we looked at DL Hall 4 or 5 years ago? No. I mean, there are guys. It's not completely bare, but there's no one that's a sure thing. There's no one that you look at and say, that's a guy with number one, number two kind of potential. It's mainly guys that you would say, if all goes well within the reasonable range of expectations, guys that are like back half of the rotation type options, which you need. You know, like Dean Kramer's that. Dean Kramer has been that for them for the last few years. You know, as
I
much
don't even
as.
know where their success is, though, when I think about it. Like Bradish, I'll give you that. Rodriguez was sort of bred to be that way and drafted to be that way, to be a potential top end front of the
Yeah.
rotation, a guy that's going to get paid here. They haven't. I mean, there's not. I mean, Kramer came in a trade with Duquette. I mean,
Yeah, but
so.
they still deserve credit for finishing development of him. You know, I mean,
I'm just
Tyler
talking about
Webb,
discovering, moving
no.
along, drafting, finding,
Oh,
trading for.
drafting,
I mean,
sure.
Bradish, I'll give you, but other than that, this is, and that's not a great report card, dude. I mean, just in a general
No.
sense, to say this, these people haven't grown any pitching and they don't think about it and they
They haven't
haven't done it,
drafted it.
and now they're going to have to do it somehow quickly in order to survive over the next year, two, three. Somebody's going to have to pitch for Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and Westberg and these guys when they're in their prime.
Well,
Somebody's going to have to pitch.
they're gonna have to go sign guys. I mean, that's just they have to dip into the market that I've been clamoring for them. And you know, you and I and Alan talked about it last week when we were kind of doing our state of the Orioles. If you're not going to draft starting pitching, and they haven't, then you've got to find other ways to do it. You have to trade for it. And what I would like to see, and no, it's not the 7 year, $200+ million contracts, but there is a middle class tier. You know, the deal, we're going to see, you know, we're going to see the Orioles face Nathan Eovaldi in this series. He's a guy that a few years ago was the kind of guy I thought was perfect for them to add. That was more of an upside play than a Kyle Gibson, right? You know, more of an upside play than a Charlie Morton. And you know, he wasn't the only one. I mean, I wanted Zach Eflin was a guy I thought they might have been interested in a couple years ago when the Rays signed him away from Philadelphia, right? So, at some point in time, you have to dip your toes into taking a little more of a risk. You know, you to just to kind of just cobble it together in the way that they have. You know, that it's not like they haven't had any success stories doing it that way. I mean, Kyle Gibson, what? You know me, I'm not a pitcher win guy, but Kyle Gibson had what, 15 wins for the Orioles a couple years ago. I mean, it's not like they haven't had any success signing pitchers like that. But if that's all you're doing, then you have a season like this where you do have some key injuries, then your rotation just completely falls apart. So, I mean, they're going to have to figure that out. I don't know the easy answer for that, It's not as though you're just gonna draft pitchers in July in this draft, and then they're gonna be ready next year. I mean, so you've got to go sign some guys. You're gonna have to see if you can make a savvy trade or two. There are always deals to be made, but you have to see if you have the wherewithal to do it. So, and you have a system that, it isn't completely terrible, but it's been diminished from guys graduating, and the pipeline that Mike Elias advertised for years and years, that's dried up compared to where it was. And it always was going to be that way to a degree, because you're not picking in the top five anymore. So, so through the big in the big picture sense, that's obviously there, and that's not an easy question to just answer and solve just like that. But it clearly needs to be better. I mean, it needs to be better across the board. We know that. But if we're going to work under the assumption that this young core is still going to figure things out and still going to be as advertised, right? That 2026 they'll get back on track, for them to have the kind of team success that everyone's going to expect. Got a lot of heavy lifting to do on the pitching front. And that's even if.
That just means they have to win the offseason to some degree.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, the
And
offseason.
that hasn't been done around here since
No.
1996. I mean,
I
like,
mean,
I'm just being honest with you. They're gonna
sure.
they're gonna have to spend a lot of money, take a lot of risk, and I don't even know who those pitchers are or where that is. And I always joke with you guys about dealing Couser or dealing something you don't want to deal, because I can't talk about Gunnar and I can't talk. But I mean, there is a point where, like, what do you have to give in a trade market to get someone that's established, where somebody else is going to give up a Corbin Burns a year before that they don't want to give him
Yeah.
$230 million? Because that's sort of the sweet spot for this, right? The sweet spot for this is Eflin. The sweet spot is somebody with a 20 million next year and a 25 after that, who somebody wants to get rid of. I mean, there's not a lot of that going around, and half of those guys' arms have fallen off, which is its own cautionary tale.
Sure. Yeah, and that's why, I mean, that's why they need to revamp their approach here. I mean, that's the Captain Obvious statement, right? I mean, again, this isn't me clamoring for them to sign pitchers to 8-year contracts and nine figure kind of deals. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about here, but there are 3-year 75, right? There are deals of that nature that they have not been willing to make, that are the kind of deals that, and I just throw 3 for 75. I mean, even that's on the higher end of that. There's 3 for 45. There's 2 years for, come up with a number and an opt out after the first year, right? I mean, there are different ways to do this
But
other
aren't you
than,
paying for Dean Kramer when you're paying for that, when you're buying those kind of pitchers? You're buying.
you know what though? Dean Kramer is valuable though. Like, if they had five Dean Kramers in this rotation right now, they'd be, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they'd be the best team in baseball, but they'd be in a heck of a lot better shape than they're in right now.
But
So,
Dean Kramer's a $17 to $20 million a year pitcher right now.
On the open market, I mean, I don't know if it's that high, but he's making money. I mean, it's money. It's at least, say, where Kyle Gibson was a couple years ago, right? I
I
mean,
just
he.
want to set the expectations that they're not signing, Seaver and Palmer here in the
No.
offseason, and Koufax. You know what I
No.
mean? Like, Corbin Burns was a hell of a bar around here. We haven't seen that around here since, like, Messina. You
Yeah.
know, so I look at that and say, that's how you win 101 games. You know, that's how you're going to get to that point, is to have that kind of pitching. And you could say, well, the Yankees and Dodgers bought it all up and half of it's injured. And that's the industry at this point. And that's really the weird downside, because you and me and Alan can get together and trade bubblegum cards and talk about the back of cards. And Jim Palmer can come around me and point to all the games everybody played back in the day. This point moving forward, when it comes to buying pitching, man, if I'm money bags and I've got all sorts of, theoretical computer spit outs of what my optimization might be on an investment in Corbin Burns, say, man, the cautionary tales of not doing it are there's a lot more sentiment for the guy who has the money to not do it than there is for the fan base to say, go give the next Dean Kramer a 3-year, $60 million contract, and every 5 days we'll sweat out whether he can make 4 innings.
Yeah.
That's a different thing than we're going to get Corbin Burns. I mean, and then you get Corbin Burns and he's hurt. So, the old school in me remembers McGregor and Boddicker and Flanagan, like in thinking about those kinds of rotations. I don't know how you do it in the modern rotation when Strasburg's arm falls off in the middle and somehow Scherzer's and Verlander's doesn't, right? And, you know, for every Scooble that we wish we had, there's a, I don't know, a commensurate Corbin Burns that's broken down. And you're like, where would you put that money? It is really a tough market to be
God,
thinking
is
about
it?
pitching, man. It's crazy.
And every team's in the same boat in terms of just how that works. Now, other teams have more resources than others. Other teams are better at identifying it than others. I mean, you have a team like the Rays. I mean, the Rays don't go out and spend on pitching, but they develop it, right? I mean, they have guys every year that you've never heard of, and you look up and they have a 3-4 ERA, and okay, then that guy gets Tommy John surgery and is gone for a year and a half, and then someone else comes in and picks up the slack. I mean, it's just what the Rays have done. It's forget about ownership or any of their other issues that have held them back from truly being special, but they've still had roughly 20 years now where they just have a churn that is uncanny that they're just good year in and year out. I mean, it's rare when the Rays have a couple down years here and there, but it's just an uncanny churn, and leading the way is their pitching. But I think. We've had this discussion. Do they need an ace for in the way that Corbin Burns was an ace for 1 year? No, they don't need that, but you need enough quality, right? If it's not a bona fide ace, and look, are there true 30 true number one starters in baseball in the way that we think about it in a traditional way? No. So, but that said, you still need much more quality. Much more quality depth than the Orioles have at this point in
Well,
time.
out of
So,
those 30, I can give you 6 to 8 that aren't pitching right now that have
well,
a lot of
sure.
money sunk
Well,
underneath of the Clayton Kershaw and the, you know, just go
that's the
down the
thing.
line of all the top paid pitchers in the game and how many of them have made their last 20 starts. None.
I mean, just go and look at the last two World Series champions. I mean, the Dodgers have spent extraordinary money on pitching,
They
but
spent money on Ohtani as a pitcher, too.
Go and look who has actually pitched for who was in the Dodgers rotation last October. They didn't have an ace, right? I mean, it's where it is. Look at all the money they gave Blake Snell and how he hasn't pitched this year, right? 2 years ago, the Rangers. We think back to Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery doing their thing, right? Who was the ace of that staff going into the year? Jacob deGrom, who had Tommy John surgery that year. So, even when you do that, even when you have someone, to your point, there's no guarantee that you're going to keep them healthy and upright and on the mound. So that doesn't mean that you just throw up your hands and give up, but it has to be a multi-pronged attack. And that's where the Orioles have really failed here. Look, philosophically speaking, I'm fine with Mike Elias saying we're not going to spend first round picks on starting pitchers. And if you even look, Go look at the draft. You'll be surprised. There aren't as many pitchers drafted in the first round as you might think. I mean, I can think back to there was a time where it felt like it was a split, and it's not
But that's
quite
an
like
industry risk reward. I mean, there's
it
a
is,
bunch of
but
nerds putting science together and just saying, take the sure thing. That's why you don't take the catcher one and think he's a catcher somehow, right?
sure, but if you're not going to do that, and that's fine. Then you have to make up for it in other ways. And for example, they haven't leaned into the pitching market from an international standpoint as much, right? I mean, for as much as they have made some hay in that way, I mean, it couldn't have been any worse, right? I mean, they were non-existent, their presence internationally prior to this regime. But have they leaned and put enough resources into the pitching side from an international standpoint? I think you can debate and question whether they have. So you have that. You have the trade market. You have free agency, right? They've just really relied on cobbling, 1 year deals together and reclamation projects. I mean, Albert Suarez was a great success for them last year. They've done well with guys like that. But if that's one of your biggest ways of doing it, boy, that's a really tough way to proceed. And the guys that you do have then. They better stay healthy, or you're going to be sunk. And well, we've seen how the last calendar year has gone, right? I mean, Grayson Rodriguez hasn't pitched since late July of last year. And Kyle Bradish has been on the shelf since last June, right? I mean, now Bradish went to Sarasota this weekend. and is going to start throwing the live hitters. I mean, he's getting closer. That doesn't mean he's going to come back and be Kyle Bradish right away, but he's getting closer.
You think he's going to pitch in August in the
I
big
think he's
leagues?
got a chance to, right? I mean, let's be clear. This isn't him coming back to pitch in a pennant race, right? So while I'll wholeheartedly disagree with anyone who says there's no reason for him to pitch this year at all, I say why? That's arbitrary right there. I would say there's no reason to push the envelope in any way if there's any question or any doubt, or if you're saying, oh, I don't know if we should be doing this just yet, then yeah, no way. But if he's fully ready and he's feeling great and the metrics look good and he's doing his bullpens, he's throwing live to live hitters, he starts a rehab assignment and that all looks great, and it gets to be the, I don't know, third week of August, whatever, I'm just throwing a random number out there, then there absolutely is value for him to make four starts to close out the year, knock off some rust, go into a what would hopefully be a normal offseason for him, and then he can hit the ground running in mid-February next year.
And
So
you look at him and say, we have a piece in our rotation.
yeah,
Maybe not
we're
the
not,
top
maybe
end,
not, not yeah.
but a piece that we could come into March, go down to Sarasota, get him where he needs to be, work on the strength all off season,
Right.
and we're gonna have what Jacob DeGrom was last week.
You hope.
You know, right? I
Yeah.
mean,
I mean,
so I mean, the
yeah.
Rangers waited that out, and I tell you, I swear to God, if you and I were in the upper deck when I was getting, when you were getting harassed and I was getting harassed by the Orioles PR team in Arlington when DeGrom wasn't in, I would have said that's Chris Davis sunk money. You know what I mean? Like I would have said, and I feel that way about Corbin Burns right now. Like I feel like until he comes back out and looks something like Corbin Burns or even something like Dean Kramer,
Yeah.
That's Chris Davis money. That is just gone, bye-bye money, 100 million, 200 million, whatever it is. On DeGrom, a year and a half ago, I would have said, he ain't throwing no hitter at, at Camden Yards a year and a half from now. But that's the miracle of Tommy John surgery. And that's why, oh, it's Tommy John surgery. Everybody just comes back. That's why 16-year-old kids get it. On and on and on and on is that there is a point to Jacob DeGrom where you could look at it and say, dude, Kyle Bradish might be doing that next July. Next
Yeah.
July, he might be Kyle Bradish again and be ready to go 11-2 in the second half of the year to lead the Orioles to 98 wins and be a game one starter, right? I mean, next October, right? Next, that's the way. But I don't know that Elias has a job now. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like, and that's the way, as a fan, I think that way because I've been watching this for 50 years, like you. But you're trying to piece it together organizationally in your own mind when these guys get $250 million and can't pitch like Burns right now, and thinking, does he really project to be in their rotation next August? Does he really? Or is he gone next year and back the next year? And even if he is, which version of the Tommy John
yeah.
surgery do we get? And that's something that Mr. Rubenstein, Mr. Moneybags, you have to think about, because whatever pitcher they give this money to, or they give it to three of them, ask the Dodgers, one of them's going to have this circumstance that we've been through with Bradish, we went through with Means, right? And that's over with now. That experiment ended. And there's only so much time on these guys and on their arms. And that's why the Bradish thing, for him, the acceleration is, I need to be able to prove this so I can take the ball next year so I can get
Yeah.
paid, because he hasn't been paid.
Right. And again, like I said, I think you have to be very smart about it. I am not saying that under any condition that he pitches in August and September, it's if everything continues to go as smoothly as they've said it's gone, right? I mean, he's been throwing bullpens. He's going to start throwing the live hitters now down in Florida. If everything continues to go great over the next, I don't know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, or whatever. At some point he'll begin a rehab assignment. He'll have a rehab assignment where he will make four starts in that rehab assignment. He'll probably start by being at Delmarva, and then he'll go up to Aberdeen and kind of make his progression. So if all of that happens and he looks great, the analytics look good in terms of his release point and velocity, and everything looks the way you want it to look, then yeah. Throw him out there in late August and give him a chance to make four starts and cap his pitch count at 70 pitches or something like that, and get him to a point where you feel, hey, This is trending well. We feel he's, quote, fully recovered. And it's not really that way. I mean, it's kind of like ACLs in football, right? The guy comes back, but it's really the year after that when it really feels
Well, you
really
can't go
good.
95 with movement without feeling it to some degree, right? For all of these guys in or out. But I guess my point on this was the velocity with which you bring them back. In the Rangers case with DeGrom, they had so much money in him that everything they can do to just get him back. In the case of Bradish, he's trying to chase money. The team's trying to chase jobs and survival. In this case, for the Orioles,
Yeah.
for all of them, because they're a last place baseball team, and he's a guy with Cy Young potential that needs to get back out on the field to get paid. I think it's managed philosophically, and I don't mean medically or even in the guy's head. I just think it's a different situation when you've made the money versus not made the money. Also, when you've spent the money, and in the Bradish case, it's just sort of like, well, we'd like to get value out of him while we still have his clock, right? Or whatever. Listen, I want them all to do well. I don't want anybody's arms to fall off. But the reality that we sit here day after day, year after year, talking about guys' arms falling off, that's not something we do with Adley Rutschman. It's not something we do with position
Sure.
players. And all of this conversation we have is exactly why Elias won't draft a pitcher in the first round of 2 weeks.
Yeah, but and that's fine. I'm okay with them saying we're not going to take pitchers in the first round, but you do need to take pitchers as the draft goes on, and it can't be just waiting till really late. Or if you are going to wait till later, then you have a strategy with your slot money, your bonus money, where you would say, okay, let's go sign a couple high school kids that might have been content to go to college, but we sign them over slot and you get them to sign, so there has to be, you have to make up for it in some way, right? In the same way that you say, okay, I'm not a team, I'm not a general manager, I'm not an owner who's going to sign pitchers to $250 million contracts. That's fine. I have no problem if you say you're not going to do that. But you've got to then compensate. How are you making up for that then? That has always been the rub for me in terms of how the Orioles have proceeded with their pitching. If you're not going to draft pitching in the first round or even the second round, fine. I think after that, I think you need to be willing to take, then to me, it's not even a risk. I mean, like third round, fourth round, fifth round. I mean, you draft position players there. There's no guarantee that they're making it whatsoever. It's not like the NFL.
Well, this is
So,
where an honest conversation with Mydell and Elias would tell you their philosophy is based on math, right?
sure. And I would say, in fairness to them, and look, it's very easy to pick on the Orioles management. There's plenty to pick on, right? And there's plenty to fairly pick on. The last couple drafts, they have taken pitchers earlier than they had in the previous ones, where you would go along and you're like looking at the list. It's like you do know you can draft pitchers too, right? That's what it felt like the first few years. So they have adjusted some. Has it been enough? That's certainly the big question, but they're going to have to figure that out. But I think it's fine to look at Kyle Bradish and say, hey, everything's trending well. If this continues to look good over the next 7 weeks or however much longer it is, if we get him in a position where he can make a few starts in September, then great. And then that can be a nice litmus test for him. That can give him some peace of mind and motivation then for the off season. That can allow us, whether we're talking about if Mike Elias in the current front office remains, or even hypothetically if it's someone different, you can look at that and see what Bradish did, and then that helps you make a more informed decision as far as where he is and how he's going to fit into your rotation plans. I am totally fine and would agree with the notion that it's okay to plan for Kyle Bradish to be in your rotation next year. You can't view it through the lens of planning and expecting that he's going to be the ace best version of Kyle Bradish next year. That would be unrealistic. That would be a disservice to your roster building. And that's really where they messed up.
Do you want him
This,
to be Dean Kramer, is what you're saying?
I mean, I think you want to look at him from a baseline perspective, right? You look at any player in terms of what's the ceiling and what's the floor. I think, and within reason, understand him being healthy, let's say, what the, because any of these pitchers, right? The floor is they're hurt and they're not pitching, right? I mean, we know that that's the possibility work for any of these guys. You're durable until you're not anymore. Gerrit Cole was a great example of that.
Bradish
Corbin
was a guy
Burns.
that we thought was Dean Kramer until he really ascended and became the next thing, right?
Yeah, I
We
mean,
thought he
well,
was a 3 or 4 starter. He was just a
and he
guy.
looked like a one.
And then
Yeah.
he pitched better than that for a long stretch of time in the same way that Chris Tillman did for a minute. And we can go back through a lot of guys that had a season or two. Steve Stone here, you know what I mean? Where it's just extraordinary for a year or two. And then there's DeGrom and Burr, guys that have done it for 4 and 5
Yeah.
and 6 years. And I can never project that out after a Tommy John surgery that a guy that wasn't Strasburg to begin with is going to come back and be Strasburg for the next 4 years, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. At the same time, we do know that and obviously I think from an Orioles perspective, the John Means situation skews things a bit, right? That's not the norm. What John Means went through isn't the norm of what you see typically with Tommy John in the modern era. That said, fully acknowledging, no, it's not 100% on the return rate. It's a high percentage, but when you're talking about guys that have had Tommy John like once, and that's, they're going through it, it's a very high return rate. Now, when you get into situations where guys have had multiple UCL surgeries, and this is where Tyler Wells is going to be very interesting. Not that anyone views Tyler Wells in the same way that we viewed how Bradish was pitching for the better part of a year and a half before his elbow issue. Tyler Wells, we're now talking about that this is going to be him coming back from a second surgery. He had one earlier in his career. It's why he was a Rule 5 guy, and they were able to get him. The return rate when guys start that they're cut o their elbows cut open multiple times, that's when you look at it a little bit differently and you say, okay, what's this going to look like? So, but we're going to see how it plays out. And you mentioned Jacob deGrom. I mean, go and look at deGrom. His average fastball, he's not throwing quite as hard as he did before. And I think some of that is also deliberate. You look at where he was at the end of his Mets career. I mean, in 2021, and I'm just looking at the numbers right now, the raw numbers, his average fastball velo was 99.2. This year with the Rangers, it's 97.2. So, how much of that is maybe he's not all the way back in terms of velo, and how much of that is, hey, I can still do this at 97. It might help my arm hold up for a couple more years, understanding he's a veteran, and I can still be really effective. In the same way we've talked about Batista, is Batista's velocity all the way back? No. Is he going to get back to throwing 102? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we've seen him touch 100, but has Batista been effective this year? Yeah, he has been. And a lot of it has been his split and, his slider being a little bit more of a factor. Now, gave
Well,
up
there
a
is the
home.
point where he's taking the ball 3 days, 4 days a week,
Well,
too. So,
and he's doing that. Right.
under
Yeah.
that, I mean, I'm gonna say he's back, but he's back doing it, and you should hope that Bradish can be there next May.
Sure. Well, and that's where you look at someone like Batista, you look at Jacob deGrom, and deGrom obviously is an extreme example because there you're talking about a guy that at his peak, a Hall of Famer, an elite Hall of Famer for a peak period of time in his career. But yeah, you look at that, and that's where you do have optimism in terms of someone coming back. Now you got to keep him healthy, you got to keep him right. You are hoping that mechanically he's sound, that he can hold up, and it's not going to be a case where he pitches for a year, 2 years, and then has problems again, right? I mean, that's all. There are those stories too, but if you're looking at this in terms of where the Orioles right now, we're a month from the trade deadline. They're going to be sellers. I think that's obvious at this point in time. Have they played better over the last month? Sure. Have they played well enough? Well, since their 6-game winning streak, Nestor, they're 11-11, right? They've kind of settled in over the last month to be a 500-ish kind of team in terms of how they've played over the last month, which isn't going to get you to where you need to go by the trade deadline to justify any notion or idea that you would buy or anything like that. So they're going to sell, but I think, for this team, you're looking at it in terms of, all right, even if we're not going to make a trade for a pitcher for next year, let's assume there's not an Eflin deal to be made, meaning like what the Orioles did last year, not dealing Zach Eflin now, because I don't know if he's going to be tradable, with a bad back and likely going to the IL. But in terms of, all right, let's look ahead. Let's think ahead to what we want to do this offseason and what we want this team to look like a year from now. I think it's perfectly fine to look at it and say, all signs point to Kyle Bradish being in that picture. You know, we'll see about Grayson Rodriguez. He's throwing bullpens. I mean, I think with Grayson, there's more uncertainty just because, you know, it's been this lat issue multiple times. It's not like he's had a surgery to quote fix it. Even when he talked to the media a couple weeks ago, you know, he even acknowledged they still haven't been able to quite pinpoint why he continues to have these lat issues. You know, is it something in his strength and training regimen that he's doing that he shouldn't be? Is it something he needs to do that he's not? You know, is it something mechanically? So, you know, I don't want to write him off, but that's where there's just that's a much murkier situation for me because it's something that has been a recurring thing, a reoccurring thing, and you haven't been able to pinpoint exactly what's causing it. But, you know, for purposes of this exercise, let's say, okay, Bradish next year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, but somewhere in there. Grayson Rodriguez, we hope somewhere in there, but certainly can't pencil him in at 1 or 2, that's
This
for
is the point
sure.
in our program where we were like, now, how do they get better next year?
Well, but what I'm saying is
How
there's
much
your
are they going to have to buy is what we're asking in the
no
offseason,
question.
right? Yeah.
There's your upside, right? There's upside there for you, right? I mean, there's absolutely a
Or
path
how
that.
much you perceive we need to buy. Because
Sure.
the perception in the offseason was, we can get by without Burns. We'll be
Well,
fine. Sure you will.
and we all thought that, look, and you know me, man, I was not of the thought that I was over the moon about throwing $250 million at Corbin Burns. But I also didn't say, well, Charlie Morton's good enough. You know, I didn't, I wasn't, you know, that's a wide range right there. Those are two very distinct ways of
We're
going.
thinking Bradish is going to be back by the All-Star
Yeah, I
break,
mean,
and
it
they're
was.
going to be 5 games over .500 without him because Kramer's going to ascend to be a number two. I mean, all of this positive thinking.
It
I'm
doesn't,
Baltimore positive, but
yeah,
when it comes to pitching.
can't be all that, right? I mean, you can certainly have that. And look, you do need things to go well. Like you do need positive outcomes. But
Well, that
if
was Bradish 2 years ago. It's how they won 101 games. That was a
no
positive
question, he was
outcome,
their
right?
ace, right? I mean, he was especially the second half of that
Kids are
season. Oh
coming
my
up.
gosh.
Everybody's hitting the ball. Rutschman's going to the Hall of Fame. Look at this Gunnar Henderson guy. My God, he's a
Now,
superstar. Like, that's where we were 2 years ago.
and this year has been the exact opposite of that. Basically, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, other than Jackson Holliday has. And let's be clear, I mean, Jackson Holliday's not an MVP yet or anything like that. He's had a really solid season. You're really happy with where he is. But other than that, and
Ryan
yes,
O'Hearn's going to the All-Star
Ryan
game. So.
O'Hearn, Ramon Laureano. I'm not saying literally everything has been bad, but when you look at it by and large, the things that they needed to go well have not gone well. So
They're awful.
that's where you look at this and say, you know, how do you proceed? Yes, it's fine to say Kyle Bradish is going to be in our rotation next year. I'm even okay with you still penciling in Grayson Rodriguez if you want, but it can't be that's your 1-2. No, no way. No way whatsoever. You can't view it through that lens. You can put them in your five, but it can't be that's your 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation because it's a complete unknown right now. I mean, until those guys are back on a major league mound, heck, get them to a rehab assignment. You know, even get me that far before I can start, you know, thinking about it in those terms. But, you know, they're going to have to augment. They're going to have to go out and spend money. And that's not to say that it can't be another 1-year deal with one pitcher that might be out there, but I think you're going to have to be more realistic and say, we've got to go out there and find another guy that, even if he's not Corbin Burns in terms of perception as a true number one, but we've got to find someone that, you know, hey, I don't know what he's going to ultimately get, but, you know, what Dylan Cease will be out there, I suppose. I mean, that's going to be more than the 2 or 3 year deal I'm talking, but the point is,
You
whoever it
just did it
is,
again. He's too top shelf. We can't
I
have
know,
him. He's too
I
good
know.
for us.
No,
By
but
the way, I'm looking at this. Can I
well,
just can I
and
rant for a minute?
let me finish real. Dylan Cease has a 4.5 ERA right now. So, and
There's no reason to give him that, right?
I only threw his name out there because his name's been out there the
Well,
last
this
2
is where we
years.
get into the trading deadline, and I'm
Yeah.
looking up in the real world, in a real season where they've really played baseball and needed to win. You mentioned Jackson Holliday. He's hitting 260. He's on pace to 20 home runs, 24 doubles, driving 65 runs. Fine. He's
Age
21, dude. He's
21, that's great.
21.
That's
He's
fine.
fine. But I look at the rest of this. Rutschman, 227. Mullins, 213. Urias has been their third best player. Just when I look down for like stats across the board, just being blind to it, thinking I didn't sit and watch the first 65 of the first 80 games the way I have. Mountcastle, 246. Kerstad, 192. Westberg, 228. Kowser, 233. O'Neill, 188. Sanchez, a mess. Mayo, 217. Mateo, 180. These are the guys on their, these were the guys they were absolutely counting on. This is the core of their baseball team outside of Henderson. PU, I mean, where would they be without Ryan O'Hearn?
Well, they last place. I mean, that's why I've said that. That's why early in the season, when you were talking over and over about the pitching, which, by the way, I never disagreed with you on, but that's why I was saying their offense hasn't been good. So, I mean, you look at it, and even if you look at it beyond batting average, if you look at OPS, I mean, Laureano has the highest OPS on the team.
Oh,
O'Hearn
come on. I mean, I pass batting, they don't walk. Who walks on this team? I mean,
No, but I was saying OPS, which is on base plus slugging percentage, it's a much more complete picture than just batting average,
which
but
makes it even worse.
it's not much better, right? I mean, it's Laureano's been good, O'Hearn's been good, Kowser has been good since he's been back, in terms of he's got an 803 OPS, he's hit for power, he's got
Yeah, but it's not like they've hit a bunch of solo home runs and still lost. I mean, the story of them is when they get guys on base, they don't knock them in. That's
Well,
the story of all of that
and they
awfulness
don't
in
hit
May
lefties at
was
all.
12 left on base. You know, 2 of 14 with runners in scoring position. You know, they just even when they manage to get on base, it's. Let's take a break. It's 4th of July. I want you to be happy. I want you to go eat Max Pizza. You get senioritis, right? Don't you? Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, we've got a month to the trade deadline. We've got 3 weeks until the start of training camp. I mean, this is my time to I'll be getting away right around the 4th of July for a week, and
I have
we'll
last place fatigue, is what I have.
Well, I mean, look, as I said, are they playing have they played better over the last month? They absolutely have. Over the last 5 weeks, they've been a much more representative team. Has that been good enough to get them back in it? No. I mean, it comes down to this. And I said this, and then I kind of went off on a tangent. This team started 9-11, and then the stretch that buried them was from the Easter game where they lost, what, 24-2, through the first game of that doubleheader against the Red Sox in Memorial Day weekend. They went 7-23 over that 30-game stretch. 7-23. Like, they were the Rockies for 3.5 weeks, and that's what completely buried them. Since then, they've gone, they went 9-2 and then 11-11 since then. I'm not saying it's great. It's still very middling and mediocre, but
Yeah, but
that
dude,
seven
I
and
gotta look up at the end of the year and I gotta do better than all those batting average I just gave
I
you.
hear
You know,
you.
the splits, if
It's a
it's
reason
that
why
bad at the end of the year, I don't know what you have in Adley Rutschman for opening day next year. I don't know what you have in counting on Jordan Westberg or counting on
I mean,
Colton Cowser to hit 230 and play some of the time and all of them knowing they can't hit left-handed pitching and having the rest of the world know they can't hit left-handed
well,
pitching.
but here's the thing. The pitching needs major surgery, right? I mean, especially the starting, and it's going to be the bullpen too, because I'm assuming that we're going to see them try to move Dominguez, Gregory Soto, maybe Kittredge. We're going to see how that plays out, but I would assume they're going to try to move a couple of those guys.
Batista's untouchable for you.
I mean, untouchable, no, but boy, it's got to be something really good. Like, really good. Like, okay, I make me an offer I can't refuse,
The only
right?
thing you're going to get for him is pitching because you're not giving him up for Gunnar Henderson. You're just not getting, you don't need a player. You know what I mean? The only thing you would, so it feels to me like he's untouchable in that way.
Probably. But it's funny, and I know I alluded to this talking about Eflin and Sagano, but what's funny is you kind of look at some of the guys on this roster. You know who I think is a very sneaky, underrated trade chip if they're willing to do it? I think Ramon Arias could get them something decent. He's got one more year of team control. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you're going to get a number one start or anything like that. But if you have a contender who loses their third baseman at some point in the next 3.5 weeks, you could do a lot worse than Ramon Arias, playing for you. Now, the flip side of that is the Orioles would like to have him on next year's team, continuing in his role as your fifth infielder, right? And, can play third, can play first, can play second. And
If he's got to play for 2 weeks, he doesn't suck.
he's fine. So, but in terms of like some of their trade chips, because we've talked about this, like, look, at this point, Cedric Mullins has struggled so much since his start to the season. I'm not sure you're going to get a whole lot for him, right? I mean, he's not playing all that well. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean I won't trade
I don't
him,
know where the
but
fit for him is on a contender either.
I mean, I could tell a team like the Phillies could use him because, center field's kind of been a, they played Brandon Marsh there, but, his offense is kind of up and down. They played some other guys there that are good glove guys, but
It's
can't
about
hit.
offense up and down. That's where Mullins
Well,
is.
but
So,
the idea is, a team's going to take a whirl on if they can get him on a heater for 6 weeks at the end of the season,
dude,
and there you go.
anybody that would leave here to go somewhere where they can win, that
Oh,
is energizing unto itself.
absolutely.
It makes
Absolutely.
players better to go into a pennant
So,
race if they're a good player.
yeah, but we know how this is. I mean, anyone who's not, anyone who's on an expiring deal, you're looking to
Anything that's
trade them
not
at this
nailed
point.
down.
Basically, and obviously the young core, I'm not trading Holiday, I'm not trading Gunner. I mean, you could say Adley Rutschman's value is down right now. You're not trading him because you wouldn't get good, the kind of value you would expect to get, right? And he's hurt anyway at the moment. And that's part of it. Like, so much of
Oh, I'm not
this.
expecting the trading deadline to save their ass. I'm
No,
expecting, I
I think
mean,
you can,
I
but
don't expect any blockbusters. We don't have any piece
you
removings
can,
or anything huge. So for that, there's no cavalry coming from the trading deadline. There
you're,
just isn't. The cavalry, to your point, is coming with Moneybags opening his checkbook in the offseason. And to some degree, the cavalry is Westberg, Mayo, the Kerstad, Rutschman. These guys have to play.
Right, no question. And look, that's part of, we were talking about the pitching and how much work they're going to have to do with their rotation and probably their bullpen. Yes, their bullpen, because they've got some guys on expiring deals anyway. So you're going to have to do some work there. When it comes to the position side and the hitting, I'm going to borrow a phrase from our old friend Brian Billick here. I think you're going to have to kind of take a leap of faith that the young core is going to rebound next year, because if you're talking about happening, and that's not to say you can't add a hitter, you can't make a move or two, but if you're suddenly saying, oh, well, we don't trust those guys, so we're going to have to go get three more bats, it's like you're not going to be able to do all that in one offseason, even if you open up the
Yeah, if
checkbook.
you need a
Like,
heart transplant here,
I mean, you're
you've
going to
already
have
done
to,
that with the manager throwing him over, and
right.
you found that that didn't matter.
You're going to have to count on some of these young guys to rebound or take the next step next year. If you're looking for your scenario to get yourself back in contention, you're going to have to rely on some of that because you're not going to be able to, quote, fix that much stuff in one off season. So, look, I'm not saying that's guaranteed to happen, but that's where they are. It's why
Well,
this season has
Basayo's going to hit
been.
30 home runs in Norfolk before it's all over with,
And
right?
you know what? Hey, maybe Samuel Basayo winning Rookie of the Year next year, that could be part of that equation, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. Kid's got a special bat. They're still working on developing him as a catcher, but I expect we're going to see him before the year's out.
I'm
I think,
working him out in the Puerto Rican, Venezuelan off-season Arizona Fall League as a first baseman.
I mean, the bat, everyone says the bat's special,
Well, there you
and the
go. Well, they said that
metrics,
about Mayo too, and I'm still waiting for that. I'm waiting for my lettuce and
although
tomato with that too.
he's
So,
looking better, keep playing him, please. Had
all
another
right.
RBI single on Sunday. Keep playing him.
I want you to go away and eat pizza at
I'm going to do
Wildwood,
that.
and I want you
I
to
will check
enjoy
the
your
scores, and that's
nieces,
about it.
and I want you to just be one with the ocean and your family. So, and America on the
Try to
4th of
keep my
July.
nieces out of trouble.
I'm going to be one with the Beer Garden and Crush Garden at the Heritage Fair this weekend. I've got great stuff on the air this week. It's not going to be all baseball and bitching about the Orioles, I promise. We did a great show at Reader's Crab House last week. We had a lot of fun. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery gave us Back to the Future scratch-offs, and we had one winner. From Dundalk, actually, all the way out in Reisterstown. We're all in this together, Baltimore County. We also had a nice chat with Izzy Patoka as well, as Hope Otto and Chef Brandon out in Reeders. So we'll be there next Tuesday. We're going to be at Di Pasquale's in Canton. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a morning thing. Thursday the 10th, we're going to be out at Costas and Timonium. That's an afternoon thing. I just found out Luke Jones, when I was a young man, there was a man on 105.7 WQSR, Steve Rouse. He's going to be our guest on. So that's my best Steve Rouse. I don't know Steve at all, like through radio things, like people here. Like, I've never sat down and talked to Steve Rouse. I don't know that I've ever talked to him longer than seeing him at a charity event and saying, "Hi, you're Steve Rouse. I'm Ness. Nice to meet you." But Steve Rouse, the real Steve Rouse, is coming out. Apparently, he's raising chickens and stuff. I don't know what the hell he's doing up in Harford County. But I'm bringing him. He said, "I want to check out the new Costas and Timonium." So Steve Rouse is going to come out next week, and I'm looking forward to that. So big week, 4th of July, America, save democracy, and all that. There are no kings in this country. I want to make that very, very clear. And it's another weird week in America and for the Baltimore Orioles. But happy 4th of July to everybody celebrating. Come see me in the beer garden down in Dundalk, and we'll be watching Oriole baseball all week. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive, better pitching.